U.S. Air Force chose Truax Field in Madison as a preferred base to house the F-35. The public comment period recently was extended to November 1st. Representative Tony Kurtz is making sure the opinion of the Wisconsin State Legislature is being heard. Hello, I'm Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and this is The Right Angle.
Welcome back to The Right Angle, the official podcast of the Wisconsin Assembly Republicans. Every week, we'll give you an inside look at the policies and politics that are driving conversations in the Capitol and across the state, hosted by Speaker Robin Voss. Today, he's talking with Representative Tony Kurtz of Wanawak about the history of the F-35 fighter jet and why Madison is a natural fit for the next generation of fighter planes.
I'm here with Representative Tony Kurtz, who serves as a freshman legislator from southwestern Wisconsin. He's also an organic farmer and a former Army attack helicopter pilot, having served in the Persian Gulf War and the Iraq Gulf War. Thanks for joining us on The Right Angle.
Yeah, thank you, Robin, for inviting me.
Looking forward to it. This week, the legislature is poised to pass a resolution that would actually show our full support for basing the F-35s in the state. Tell us why you think that's important. I know you were the lead author, so it's obviously important to you.
It's very important because we need to show not only the state, we need to show Washington, D.C., that we have our that the state legislature has their back, that we want these aircraft at our, in our state. And I'll tell you just how important that is. I was fortunate this past Saturday to have dinner with Major General Dunbar, the Adjutant General of Wisconsin. He and I were with the Volk Field. They were celebrating their 65th anniversary as an airfield for the Air National Guard. And I mentioned to General Dunbar this resolution that Senator Fitzgerald and I were going to introduce, and he leaned over to me and he said, "Thank you for doing that. We need to show Washington, D.C. that the state of Wisconsin is behind this aircraft."
Well, it's really surprised me at the opposition from some of the folks who clearly would benefit the most. What would the economic impact be if, for some reason, we didn't get the F-35?
Oh, I think it would be very devastating, not only just for Truax Field. I understand people say, well, even without the F-35, Truax is still going to be viable. That's not necessarily true. The Air Force, just like all our armed forces, are always constantly looking at their footprint, how to save money. I mean, the military is expensive. It's true. So they're always looking at how they need to save money. If we don't get the F-35, I do worry about Truax Field. I also worry about the 128th Air Force refueling wing over at Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I represent Volk Field, which is a premier training area. We have over 12,000 square miles of training area, and that airspace goes up to 50,000 feet. Very few locations in the United States can say that, and not a lot of states can say that. And so one is interconnected to the other. So if we don't get F-35s, I do worry about the refueling wing. I do worry about Volk Field. One of the things, reason why, you have to understand there's 18 different locations the Air Force looked at. Truax and the men and women of the 115th Fighter Wing were chosen based on their professionalism, based on their track record over the vast many years. And one of the other things is with the refueling wing, with the fighter wing and the training area, when they take off from Truax, they can be in training airspace within 5 minutes. You can't say that anywhere else in the United States, to take off and start training in 5 minutes. So it's a tremendous asset that we have in the state. One is interconnected to one another, and so that I am very concerned. If we don't get the F-35, it is going to affect other units.
You know, there's been so much misinformation out there, especially from some who either don't understand the mission or perhaps just didn't do the research. What's one of the things that, as people listen and try to understand what the impact's going to be, tell us a little bit about the noise complaints, because it seems like that's the biggest focus as I've watched the news that people are concerned about.
You know, one thing I want people to look at is, you have an airfield there. The 115th and other units over in, been at Truax for over the last 71 years. They have been a fantastic neighbor to this community. And one thing I also stress to people is Madison and the surrounding communities, they have thrived for the last 71 years with the Air National Guard at Truax. Mm-hmm. They're going to thrive moving forward. As far as the sound and the decibel levels, I personally, from the studies I looked at, all the information, they're going to be no more loud than those F-16s. And one of the things we're kind of missing here, and it's funny because one thing I am going to push back on, they're saying that this affects some of the low-income housing areas, things like that. That's not the Air National Guard's fault. And they're and in some areas, they're making that out to sound like it's the Air National Guard's fault. I would challenge anybody to say over the last 71 years, all the men and women in Madison, the surrounding areas, that looked up and saw an aircraft flying and said to themselves, man, I want to do that. Mm. Or how does that fly? Mm-hmm. How many men and women realized that their career could be in aviation, could be in engineering?
Mm-hmm. And the military, right?
The military could have started from looking at one of those aircraft. And just imagine with the technology of the F-35, how many young men and women are going to be energized to go into those fields. And I know you know, with aviation, there's going to be an unbelievable shortage in the future. Mm-hmm. And if we can help these young men and women, like I got my military education because I joined the military. My wife did the same thing. And if one of these young men and women see that those aircraft and say, how do I do that? How do I join the Air Force? And they join, they serve our country, they get their education paid mm-hmm. for. I can't think of a greater way to lift people up.
Well, for anybody who's listening, you can certainly tell that my friend Representative Tony Kurtz is passionate about this topic.
Yes, there's no doubt about it.
So, Tony, I've got to have a proud moment here. My stepson actually just graduated from Annapolis. He is going to become a Marine pilot. So I understand the passion that young people have for that. So how did you decide to become a helicopter pilot? Where did you serve? Yeah. What was actually your background that, you know, that showed your service to our country?
You know, I was very fortunate in 1985. From a young age, I always kind of thought I was going to go to the military. In 1985, I had the opportunity to go from high school to flight school and to Army flight school. So I literally graduated on the 6th of June of 1985, and on 8 July of 1985, I was on an airplane to basic training.
Wow.
So I went to training at Fort Rucker, Alabama, spent 20 years on active duty, really all over the world. I was fortunate to fly Cobra and Apache helicopters. Mm. So when we talk about this transition from the F-16 to the F-35, when I was in the service, I made the transition. My unit did from Cobras to Apaches. So this is very normal of a life cycle of an aircraft, of a unit. We need to do that. We need to modernize. And so this is something that I'm obviously very passionate about.
So are you still involved in the military at all, or are you serviced out?
No, I retired. I served 20 years on active duty. When I retired, my last assignment was at the Army Safety Center, and I actually did a lot of accident investigations mm-hmm. and fratricide investigations. And one of the things I got to do was a lot of training afterwards, especially occupational safety and health training. And I was fortunate enough that I did training for the 115th and the 128th Fighter Wing. So I know those men and women over there, and I can't speak enough the professionalism and the things that they do for our country. These aircraft, the F-16 right now, these are the oldest in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And the maintenance on these aircraft are spectacular. Mm. And that just speaks volumes to what they do over there. And they're going to do the same thing with the F-35. They're going to treat those aircraft. And I can't think of a better unit. Otherwise, the Air Force wouldn't have chosen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're a perfect example of the kind of brave people who choose to go into the military. But boy, I'll tell you, for all the folks out there who worry about the next generation, you know, what's going to happen with millennials? How's our country going to go? I tell you, you meet a whole lot of young people who are still joining the service today, and I could not be prouder and be more optimistic about our future. So for us to be able to stand behind the people who are really making sure that our country's safe, our world is safe, that people have the ability to live in freedom that many of us take for granted, I think it's important for us to support them. So that's why this resolution is so important, that it's just one small step, but I think it's a very important one for us to say the state of Wisconsin is really behind this project. So I know you've had a really busy week, because I believe that you also were in Washington at the White House talking about the announcement of the trade agreement. Tell us about that.
I had an unbelievable opportunity to represent the state of Wisconsin and the agriculture community. I thank you very much for allowing me to do that. I was able to go to the U.S. and Japan trade agreement signing with President Trump. It was fantastic. And the one thing I want to mention, since we have time here, you know, this trade agreement, especially for Wisconsin agriculture, is a fantastic deal. Right now, in 2017, we had $145 million worth of exports to Japan. So Japan right now currently is our fifth largest agricultural export for Wisconsin ag products. In 2018, that number went up 20% to $175 million. So $175 million of our agricultural products were being exported to Japan. This deal is only going to amplify that. Hmm. It's only going to grow that footprint.
So all we hear about are tariffs and it's stopping our trade, but you're actually saying it's increasing with some of our best trading partners, especially because of what the Trump administration is doing.
Yes. And this is only, once again, over the next several years. Some products, immediately the tariffs come off. Right now, the average tariff that we're paying with our IGS products going into Japan is about 17%. Some are immediately are going to be removed. Some of those are for vegetables. Some of those are for our fruits and nuts, especially cranberries. It's a good news for a lot of our cranberry farmers. A lot of things people don't know. Japan is actually our largest export market for potatoes, not nationwide. So we obviously have a lot of potato growers in our state. Yeah. This is going to be a very good deal for our potato growers. And over time, the rest of the tariffs will come off as well. Now, I'll be honest, there's a little work in the agreement, and they're going to further negotiate because we still got to get a little bit more access with our dairy products. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've been saying, once we get our foot in the door with the dairy products, of course, you know, mm-hmm. we have the best dairy products in the world. We've got
the
best trees
in the world.
So tell
us, did you take cheese to the White House to get the Trump administration?
I should have done
that.
I mean,
maybe the next time you go, because I know they're going to probably have you back, because I saw the president called you out. So that's a pretty nice honor.
That was pretty special.
Yeah, that's cool. So we're almost at the end of our time, but I know your passion for cheese, and I know how important it is to you. So you have a lot of cheese makers in your district. Yeah. So tell us, what's your favorite kind of cheese, and where do you usually go? Like, what's your go-to?
Well, this past weekend, I went to Carr Valley Cheese, which is just outside of the little town of Laval, Village of Laval, and they have right now, they have a harvest cheddar. Hmm. You know, it's a seasonal cheese, and I'll tell you, it was fantastic. I even texted my wife, because she was out of town at the moment, and I said, you've got to try this when you get back to the house. It's just fantastic.
Do they sell it to the public?
Oh, absolutely. You can go there, get cheese curds, the whole nine yards.
So for anybody in the Assembly Republican Caucus especially, but perhaps even our Democratic friends, let's make sure when you see Tony Kurtz that you lobby him to bring in some of those cheese curds for all of us to be able to
try. From Carr Valley Cheese.
From Carr Valley Cheese. So thanks for being here. Yep, we appreciate it very much. Once again, my name is Robin Voss. This is The Right Angle. Thanks, Tony.
And that's The Right Angle on the F-35. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe. Just search for The Right Angle on iTunes and Google Play, Radio Public, Breaker, Overcast, and Pocket Casts. Have an idea for a guest or topic? Tweet us at the Wisconsin Assembly GOP. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.